So there's a lot happening this morning. Today, as I mentioned earlier, is Christ the King Sunday. And just to set the stage a little bit for what that means, the church follows what's called a liturgical calendar. It's a little bit different calendar. And this is the last day of the church year. And so we've been through all of these seasons. It starts over next year. So it begins with Advent, and then we move through Epiphany, and then we move into Lent and Pentecost and Ordinary Time. And in essence, part of what Christ the King invites us to do is to look back over the last year and say that in all that we've been through, in the mountaintops, in the valleys, in all that the church year invites us to reflect on, and that our individual lives and our individual years sort of lead us through, the good and the bad, to look back on all of that and declare that Christ is King. That in the midst of all of that, one thing that we can be certain of is that when it felt clear and when it felt unsure, Christ was in the midst of what we were doing. Christ was Lord over all, and we were being invited to live in particular ways in response to that. That, in a nutshell, is what Christ the King Sunday is all about. And just like we've been talking about last week and in this year of the story, as we look back, we're also invited to look forward to the year ahead and to say that no matter what happens and no matter what we go through and no matter what direction we're led, that God will still be working, Christ will still be King in the midst of all of that. And so that's what we celebrate when we call this day Christ the King. This is also Thanksgiving Sunday. And it's not difficult in the midst of our cultural reality to say that this is an opportunity for us to look around, perhaps to look up, because we so often have a tendency to look down, to be focused on what's right in front of us or what's internal or what is the problem that is immediately on fire right in front of where we are, but to look up and to look around and to take stock of all that we have to be thankful for, of all the blessings that we've received in so many different ways. And part of what we'll talk about today is how it is that we respond to that. And so we may respond in ways, maybe you do this at Thanksgiving, you go around the table and share things for which you're grateful for this particular year. Maybe you write in a gratitude journal. Maybe you take time especially to connect with friends or loved ones. Maybe you do some just reflection by yourself. But there are all sorts of ways that we can choose to reflect and then be led to action in response to gratitude. And so I want to just encourage you and to continue to think about that through the week ahead. We are also in our last Sunday of this Voices series. Next week, we move into a series called Honest Advent. I'm very excited about it as we have 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, but we're wrapping up this Voices series. And I want to say a little bit about that. We've said over these last 3 weeks that part of what we're trying to acknowledge and recognize is that we have all sorts of voices, all sorts of influences that speak into our lives and affect us. And so we've talked about the voices of the saints, those loved ones, perhaps who are alive, but many of whom have passed away, that have had an impact in our life, that have helped us understand what it means to be a person of faith or a person who belongs to a particular family or tribe or group. They've modeled for us what it means to be faithful in this world, and we call them saints. And so you were invited that first week not only to remember one of those saints, but to remember a specific scene with them, something that had an impact on you in which they imparted some sort of blessing and helped you understand more about yourself or the world. Last week, we talked about the importance of community as we celebrated Common Grace's fourth birthday. That we said we've been doing this for 4 years. We're looking ahead to what God is doing. And we said that each one of us is impacted. There are voices of community that speak to us, that help form us into who we are. Now, the second stage of both of those things, and that we'll do this week, is to say, how is it that we use our voice? How is it that we use our agency, our resources, in order to share that with the world, to share community with the world, to be a saint to those who are coming up beside or behind us? And that's what we've been doing. I like to give this warning at the beginning of every sermon, just in case you've already begun to, you know, think about the week to come or something like that. In a few moments, you'll be invited to reflect, and then a few minutes later, you'll be invited to share with others. And that's part of why we've provided that resource to take some notes and to draw. But just be aware, we'll get to that in a few minutes. But I was preparing for this week, in which we talk about the importance of gratitude a couple of weeks ago, and I was struggling with sort of what to do on this Thanksgiving week and what sort of shape it takes, and I was mentioning that to Jeff, our youth ministry coordinator, and he said to me that one of the things that he often likes to talk about is thinking very, very specific about the things that we're grateful for. And so he had sort of this formula, which I love that about Jeff. I love that about the ministry that he does with youth. But he talked about one of the important pieces that often gets overlooked when we talk about gratitude and thanksgiving is the desire to get into the specificity, to get into the details. And so what he says is rather than simply saying, I'm grateful for my cell phone, what would it mean to think about, to reflect on how it is that you came to have that cell phone, who it was that made it, what were all the resources that went into it, to get behind the thing and to recognize all that's been possible to make that happen, instead of simply saying, I'm grateful for my family, perhaps to reflect on how it is that your family came to be, what it is that you've journeyed through, what has brought you to this particular station in life, what enabled you to do that, instead of saying, I'm thankful for my career, what are the turns that got you to that specific moment, what is it that allowed you to be in that place, how is it that you've been shaped in the midst of all of that, and when you say you're grateful for it, what are the things that have enabled it, that have made that possible, to really get specific? And we can do this in very deep ways. We can do it in lighthearted ways. Maybe you want to reflect this Thanksgiving about how it is that that turkey came to be on your table. It's a long process. But to really dive in and get into the specifics of what's behind the thing. And so this morning, for our time of reflection, our first reflection, what I want you to do is to think of one of two things. This is a multiple choice. First, you could think about a time where you were completely swept up in gratitude. A moment when you were humbled and excited and honored and perhaps even a little bit embarrassed by somebody else's expression of gratitude or by something that was happening around you. It could be a sort of mountaintop experience or a culminating event, somebody recognizing your accomplishments, something at the end of a journey. It could be a simple moment where you were caught up because of a sunrise, because of what was around you, because of some small word that a stranger said to you. So it could be complex. It could be simple. It could be an interaction with somebody else. It could be a sudden awareness of God or of nature that is around you. I want you to think of one moment when you were swept up with gratitude and it caught you, and you realized that this was a moment to be very grateful. That's one option. The second option is to think about a time when you realized the power of gratitude. And this may be a little bit more abstract. It could be that your expression of gratitude helped you experience something, the thing for which you were giving thanks, even deeper. It could be that you said something and all of a sudden that experience became more rich. You shared it with somebody else, your gratitude about something, and all of a sudden there was a whole new layer of depth in the midst of it. So that could be one option. It could be when somebody else expressed gratitude to you or you witnessed it, and all of a sudden you realized the impact that that had on you. When somebody wrote a handwritten note and it was written to you, and you realized how much their gratitude meant to you. When is a time where the importance of gratitude was illustrated for you? When did that happen? One scene in your life. So those are the two options. When the importance of gratitude was made clear to you, or when you yourself were swept up in gratitude. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you are following along in one of those booklets, it's the last two pages. There's a place you can write that out. You can even draw it out. I would invite you to be very specific. One particular scene, one interaction, one reflection. If you want to just sit and reflect and think through it, you can do that as well. But I'm going to give you 3 minutes to think about one of those two things, when you were swept up in gratitude or when you realized the importance of Thanksgiving. You've got 3 minutes. Go. Right, as I mentioned earlier, our primary scripture today comes from 1 Chronicles 16, and this may not be a part of the Bible that you are as familiar with. It's sort of right in the middle, or maybe the middle first half of the scriptures. And basically, there are two very long accounts of Israel's history that are sort of right in the middle of the Old Testament. The first one is called 1 and 2 Kings. The second one is 1 and 2 Chronicles. This comes from that. And this story may not be one that you're especially familiar with, but it talks about what happens when the Ark of the Covenant under King David is returned to the people of Israel and comes back into their camp. And I want to say just a little bit of a word about how important this is. For the people of God, for the Israelites, they are a people only because of the work and the power of God. They are a unique people only because of the work and the power of God. They have an identity because God has called them. God made a people out of no people, a way where there was no way. God named them and claimed them and called them. And all of that is represented for the people. God's presence with the people in the Ark of the Covenant. God's very presence is represented through that. And so when the Ark was stolen, when it was taken away, that was not only devastating because it was an important religious symbol for the people, it was a way of saying that God's presence had left them. And so when the Ark comes back, this is a really really big deal. It's almost impossible to overstate how big of a deal this is for the people of God, for the Israelites in that time. And so they have built a tent, a sort of, not like a pop-up tent, but a temporary permanent dwelling for the Ark of the Covenant to come in. They're returning it to the people, and King David is sort of leading this charge as they come back in. There is much joy and much celebration because all of a sudden things are back on track. Their identity is set. God's presence is with them. Before we even read, I just want to say, if we want to connect this to Christ the King Sunday, the people of God, the Israelites, also worship God, and they also believe that the God of Israel is king. And so God's presence being known to them through the Ark of the Covenant is the way that they celebrate, that they name that, that they claim that, and they have certainty of their own identity in the midst of that. It's the way that they worship and they give thanks to God. It's a way that they proclaim to the world that indeed God is king, that this God over Israel is the God over all other gods. It gives them their unique status. Just like we believe that being called children of God gives us our unique status. So they bring in the Ark, they put it into the tent, and then what happens in the 16th chapter of 1 Chronicles is sort of this this naming of what happens after that. And we'll read from the first part a little bit, but if you just skip down a little bit, there is a psalm that starts in verse 7. In my Bible, it's called David's Psalm of Thanksgiving. And this is a response that David gives, this song that David sings that begins to tell, and I won't read all of it because I think it's like 30 verses long, but it gives an accounting of how God has moved in the people of Israel and how it is that God has brought them to this place. And all of it is bathed in this sense of thanksgiving. Songs in that day just like songs now in our lives, are a way that we help pass a culture and a heritage from one generation to the next. It's a way that we help tell the story. So we do that when we talk about ourselves as a nation. We do that as a people of faith, as we share songs with one another and allow them to teach us. What this song is intended to do is not only to celebrate, but it's also to remind the people who they are and to tell their unique story in a way that can be remembered and be passed down from generation to generation. So we could read all throughout this Psalm of Thanksgiving, but I want to read just a little bit beginning in verse 8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of his wonderful works, glory in his name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice, seek the Lord in strength, seek his presence continually. Remember the wonderful works that he has done, the miracles, the judgments. O children of Jacob, his chosen ones, remember this all. Remember his covenant forever. And then if you sort of go on, we begin to unpack what is the covenant. And then in 19, it says, when we were few in number, of little account, we are strangers in the land, wandering from nation to nation, one kingdom to another. God allowed no one to oppress us. He rebuked kings on our account. He said, do not touch my anointed ones. On and on. There is this accounting. There is this story about what God has done. It begins with this declaration of gratitude and then begins to name out all of these specific things that God has done that the people ought to remember. Now, remember, that's our focus for today, is talking about getting some specificity on what we are thankful for and then what that leads us to. This is a pattern that we see all throughout the scriptures happen over and over and over again. Many of the Psalms are just a retelling of the story of Israel, of the telling of God's creation and God's naming and claiming of them, and then saying, this is how we live in response to that. We see it all throughout the scriptures. In Hebrews 13, we read specifically about Jesus and talk about his work. And so there is this comparison saying that just as Jesus, just as animals were slaughtered outside of the city gate, so was Jesus. And he suffered outside of the city gate. This is verse 12 of Hebrews 13. Therefore, Jesus also suffered outside of the city gate in order to sanctify the people by his own blood. Let us then go outside the camp and observe the abuse that he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we're looking to a city that is to come. Through him, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that confess his name. And so there's this action, this specific thing, this gift of Jesus, and particularly remembering his death that would lead to his resurrection, and this call to remind ourselves of that, and then to confess, to sing, to tell the story. We see that in other places. Psalm 106, I'm not going to read it, but it's purely an accounting of the transgressions of the people of God. It says Israel's transgressions, and it talks about all the times that they've been led astray, that they've failed to live up to God's call for them, and how God has met them and forgiven them each and every time. One of my favorite parts of the gospel, for one last example, is John 14. Jesus is nearing the end of his earthly ministry. The air is getting heavy. Things are not going especially well. The writing is on the wall. And in the midst of that, he begins to pray a prayer of blessing, of commissioning, asking God to send power to the disciples who will then share this good news with the world around them. He begins the prayer by saying, God, you have given me authority over all people. You've showed me what is eternal life, and I have shown them what is eternal life. You've sent me, and you've been with me here. You've entrusted your message and these people to me. There is this gratitude, this thanksgiving that begins the prayer that says, here are the specific things that you've done in my life. Even Jesus does that. We could go on and on, but the point is that in the scriptures, over and over again, we're modeled this idea of beginning very specifically with what it is that God calls us to do and who it is that we're called to be. And then there is often a call to share it with other people. And so that's what I want us to move into right now. I want you to think back to that scene that you just were reflecting on, the one where you were overcome by gratitude or the one where you realized the power of thanksgiving. What I want to invite you to do is to share that with somebody else. In fact, I'll invite you to get into small groups, two other people, so three total. I'm going to give you 4 minutes, 3 minutes. I'm going to give you 3 minutes to share that. And I want you to share that with other folks about what gratitude, what thanksgiving has meant to you, what comes to your mind, and why it is that you remember that. So, 3 minutes, if you'd stand, if you'd find some folks and share. Mm-hmm. All right. So I want to dive back into the scriptures for a few moments, and I want us to see the thing that happens over and over again after we get this very specific naming of Thanksgiving. There is often, in the midst of this language, there is an invitation to praise, to give glory to God, to use our lips, to use our mouths, to provide some sort of worship to God. That's many times what happens first. But there's also something that happens afterwards that I want us to reflect on as we wrap up this series. Jesus, he begins by giving this gratitude to God for all of these specific things in John 14. And then he says this is sort of a summary. He says, "Holy God, protect them so that they may be one," meaning that the church, the disciples, those who follow him then and in the years to come may be made one. Give them a full measure of joy. Keep them from the evil one. Sanctify them. Send them into the world. And bless not only them, meaning the disciples, but also those who will come to know God through them. So Jesus begins with this very specific prayer of gratitude. And then he has this specific ask, the specific action that he's asking from God. That's what prayer life looks like. Very often, after we have these specific naming, there's going to be a specific response. So we talked about in the book of Hebrews, there is this joy and this thanksgiving for the work of Jesus that has accomplished a new way for us. At the very end of that reading, Hebrews 13, verse 16, the author writes this, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such are the sacrifices pleasing to God." This is not detached. We hear that, and that sounds like just an admonition, but that continues right on the heels of what we just left. As we have seen God do this, let us therefore give of ourselves as a sacrifice, and by our lips confess his name. And because of all that, do not neglect to share good news and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Over and over and over again, the scriptures guide us through this same process, that we would declare thanksgiving, that we would offer our worship, and then that we would do some sort of action in response to it. We would live in some particular kind of way. So let's go back to that main reading that I said that we have from 1 Chronicles 16. They've brought the ark into the camp. They're extremely grateful to God about it. But there's something about King David who very often gets it wrong that he does that I think is important, and I think it's instructive to us. And I want us to hear this particularly as we enter into a holiday season. This is verse 3. Well, let's start in verse 2. When David had finished all the burnt offerings and the offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord, and he distributed to every person of Israel, man and woman alike, to each a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. And look, that's not quite a whole Thanksgiving feast. And yet there were people in that culture, in that time, just as there are right now, who didn't even have enough to eat. This thing that God had done, this movement, this re-identification and naming and claiming of the people of Israel was so important that it required everybody to celebrate together. It required all of the people to join with one another. The only proper response for the kind of gratitude that David had is to invite all of the people, the whole nation of Israel, man and woman, adult and children alike, to celebrate by eating of this meal, which for the time was basically a small feast. This is a blessing. This is a great joy. And friends, this is what our Thanksgiving ought to cause us to do. It ought to cause us to act and to behave. Thanksgiving or gratitude that remains in our head is fine. But if we get specific about the things that help make it possible, if we get specific about the ways that our gratitude comes to us, if we get specific about all of the blessings that we have, then we do well to respond in the world with tangible actions, and we do well specifically to bless other people because of what God has given to us as a blessing. And friends, that's my challenge to you in this season. That's my invitation. Particularly as we move into a holiday season, I want you to think back to that scene that you've rehearsed in your head and that you've shared with somebody else. And I want you to think, what would be an appropriate way to respond in gratitude to that particular scene? What would happen for you to respond to somebody else in a way that is sort of tied to that but would bless someone else? So let me give you my example. I remember one Easter, I was in Manhattan. I was working for the football team, and so I couldn't come home. I couldn't celebrate with my family. And it was such a simple gesture, but one of the guys that I knew, that I lived with, that lived in Manhattan, invited me over to his family's Easter lunch celebration thing. And there was a bunch of orphan children who were all stranded in the college town that were invited over, and it ended up being like 20 or 30 people there, and they opened their home, and it was such a small gesture, right? It was not that big of a deal to make a few more places at the table, and yet it was such an incredible blessing. So if that was the thing that came to my mind, perhaps I would want to think about how I could include somebody in my holiday celebrations this year, someone who might be excluded, who might be in a season of grief. What does it look like to invite them? If it's a gift that somebody gave you, maybe the alternative gift fair is where you need to go to think about how you can use your resources now to bless somebody else. There are all kinds of ways. Maybe you want to provide a meal in the midst of this holiday season. Maybe you want to spend time with a lonely neighbor. Whatever it is, I want you to think of some very specific, concrete action about how you might respond. If you want to help support KVC, there's a piece of paper on the back table. You can scan a QR code. You can find out how to sign up to help support giving gifts to foster students in our community. That's a partnership that we've had for a long time. Starting, I believe, next week, we'll have an angel tree where you can help sponsor gifts for kids over at the Center of Grace. All of these are great things. I would really love it if it was something that required some hands-on work, some relationship, if your gratitude moved you into conversation with other people in this holiday season. So as the band comes forward, I'm just going to invite you to spend a few moments reflecting on that. That's our time of reflection. That's it. And maybe you want in your phone or on that booklet, maybe you want to write it down and say, this holiday season, that could be Thanksgiving, now through the end of the year, this holiday season, I will let my gratitude move me to blank. What is the action that you're going to take? What is it that you're going to do? How is it that you are going to bless others because of what God has blessed you with? Let's take a few moments.